This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Analyzing Rental Properties, Part 1, The Overview. Before we get started, First off, this is a really key area that I want to just go over with you. Before you get started, you want to make sure that first you're looking in the right place. In other words, you have carefully researched the market and know it has promise. It's the market that you're familiar with. You've researched it. You know it's a good place to invest. So what I'm going to do is just kind of give you a quick overview today. I really don't want to rush through this because property analysis is the most critical stage of the investment process. This is where you can make or break your chances of success. That's why I'm going to take my time on this one, and I'm going to try to keep it simple, give you bite-sized portions so you can thoroughly understand what I'm saying, and that you'll have a good understanding, hopefully, by the end of this series. This is not rocket science, but you do need to know how to do this right. And way too often, I think what happens is we hear people spouting out terms like cap rates, ROI, IRR, and so forth, ABC. It throws people off because they're terms that they may not be familiar with. And I want to be able to get to the point where we can look at those terms and eventually be using them in our regular conversation as we talk about properties we're looking at. There are some important math ratios you need to know. It's not complicated math by any means. We're multiplying or dividing for the most part. So it's pretty basic. But again, we need to kind of understand the overview. So first, I want you to know, what are your key goals? Okay, why are we analyzing these properties? Well, right now, and again, I think our focus has been made real clear here. The most important thing we're looking for is cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. This is the money that's left over after you pay all the bills, and that's what you actually put in your pocket and take home, okay? You're looking for properties that are going to produce that cash flow to make up the gap in what you are seeking in income, what your goals are for your income, maybe in your retirement or in that time ahead where, gee, I just need another $1,000. I need another $5,000, another $10,000, whatever it may be a month. That's your cash flow, and that's your target area. Next, what's really important here is, as far as your goals are, is, am I buying a good property? Okay, well, maybe it might cash flow, but, you know, it might also have other fundamental problems that you want to know about. You want to know about the condition of the property. You want to know if it's going to appreciate over time, that it's a good buy, maybe that you're buying it under value or underpriced, so that you have sort of built-in equity. So there's those aspects of it. Of is this just a good purchase? Okay, on top of the cash flow. So What does property analysis look like? And what I'm trying to do here is trying to give you an overview. But what I want you to do is look at maybe some of the past episodes, if you haven't already, like episode 006, how to get started in real estate investing, 010, setting your real estate investment goals, 012, how to find great deals, 016, what is a great deal? And then there's others that also relate, but those are pretty good foundation for what I'm going to talk about today. So what am I doing on my property analysis? I'm looking at properties. Duh. Okay, that's pretty obvious, but that's really what I'm doing. So I am sitting down and giving it in the most literal sense here. I'm sitting down, I'm in front of my computer. I am going to online sites. If you have access to the MLS, oh, wow, that's great. You know, that's the multiple listing service. That'll have a lot of properties on it. That's what realtors use, though. You usually have to have a realtor's license to access that. But you can find a lot of those same properties in realtor.com, Zillow, Trulia, multiple other sites. If you're looking at commercial properties, you're going to be looking at loopnet.com, CoStar, places like that. So I'm looking at sites. I'll also be looking at emails. Now, the idea is you generate people that will send you leads, okay? So your lead sources will send you emails. Here's a property I need you to look at, and there'll be data in that you can look at. You'll get property executive summaries that usually come from brokers and so forth that you'll be reviewing. And then what are you looking at? You're looking at pictures of the properties. You're looking at financial data. Other data about the property that you'll need to know to make an assessment. Now, generally what I do is I'll sit down and I have like a little spreadsheet that I use. It's called the 3-Minute Rental Property Analyzer. I have a copy of it on my website that's free. If you guys want to use it, just go to olddogsreinetwork.com and you can download it and use it to your heart's content. And what you do is as you input data into this, it throws that property into a line on an Excel spreadsheet, and all the numbers are going to fall into categories like price per unit and cash flow and ROI and so forth. So you have at least the financial data, the numbers data at a glance. So I'll have that handy as I'm doing this analysis. So giving you an overview here, as I mentioned, I'm going to do, we're looking at just getting understanding the process and where it's going to lead you. And I tried to come up with an easy way to remember this. And so what I've come up with is sort of a metaphor that you may appreciate or not appreciate, but nonetheless, it's a way I'm hoping you'll remember the process. And what I call this is the 5 phases of a rental property courtship. Okay, now I know you think I've totally gone off the deep end. In most cases, I have. But this is kind of like what it's like when you're looking for properties. Now, granted, this isn't a marriage, and I really don't recommend that you get emotionally involved with your properties. Although, you know, just on a total aside, I actually did meet a lady that married a building. Look it up. It's on. She actually did marry a building. And I thought that was real interesting. A friend of my son's. Okay, but anyway, that's not what we're talking about here. What I'm talking about is there are similar processes between a courtship, you know, when you're looking at somebody that prospective marriage, okay, that is similar to the way you approach rental property analysis, okay. Step one, the first glance, okay. You can tell a lot in that first glance. And I remember when I saw my wife, I was immediately enamored and kind of just forgot where I was. And that first glance, boom, you know, you're just like, okay, you know. Well, and with the property, a lot of times it's the same thing, maybe not to the same, let's hope it's not to the same degree, but you look at a property, you can tell a lot just by looking at a picture. And granted, you sometimes get these marketing pictures that where they hire professional photographers that always give you the best view of something. And you may end up with that, but at a glance, you can tell. You can usually tell, wow, this looks like something I want to pursue a little bit further. So that's where you start to go with it. Where do you get the pictures? Well, broker materials, online you'll see photographs. One of the best views I like to give of property is actually through Google Maps, when you can get the street side view, where you're actually looking at the property and you can move the mouse around on the picture and you can look at the property next door. You can go down the street. You can go around the corner. You can go to the next street. You can really, like, you're walking that neighborhood. And granted, some of these pictures are older. I was looking at one just the other day. It was an image from 2011, but you know, still gave me an idea of the neighborhood. Now, granted, a lot of things might have changed in 5 years, but it does give you a good feel for the neighborhood. And boy, you can tell a lot. You know, sometimes I've looked at an apartment, I go, "That's a neat looking apartment," and then I start looking around, I realize it's like part of like three blocks of apartments, and I'm going, man, that seems like a very competitive place to be. But nonetheless, you can see a lot, so I really recommend that. So that first glance is important. Also, part of that is the map itself. Again, Google Maps is pretty good with this. You can look at an aerial view, take it off of the satellite shot, and you can look on the map where certain businesses are. You'll see oft times if there's a Walmart nearby, if there's an upscale shopping center or something of that nature, and you start to see these things and start to get a better feel for what the neighborhood is like. You can also see what part of the town you're in too, the Lower East Side, West Side, or what have you. And that helps you as you're going to start to talk with others, which is step two, the conversation. Also, in the courtship process, after you've seen somebody you're interested in, you're thinking, I got to talk to her or him or what have you. And so that's where you actually strike up a conversation. And that's what you do in this second phase, is really you start talking to people and you start finding out about that property. If you know anybody that lives in that area, you want to talk to them and you want to find out what they know about that area. Maybe even they'll look at the property for you and walk around it and tell you their opinion. The broker will be your first contact that can do this, but you know, again, they may not always be objective, but they really do. A good broker will tell you a lot about a neighborhood, a lot about a property, without having to get into too much due diligence there. You also can call the Chamber of Commerce in that area, find out about that town and that particular part of the neighborhood. Economic Development Department to find out about new business coming in the area, new jobs, things of that nature. Ask real blunt questions. Hey, I'm looking at this property at this address. Is that a good part of town? Is it not a good part? What do you know about it? And then you can also tell a lot. There's a lot of websites, again, give it crime rates and data on jobs and so forth. So it does help to talk to people and get that information. The next step is you're interested in that person, for example, and you've struck up the conversation. You want to move on and get her number. Well, this is what you want to do here is in our stage three, due diligence. That's what we're doing, is we're getting the numbers. We're collecting detailed numbers on that property. That's where you really want to dig in and not only get the data that is supplied to you by the broker, but additional data that might be available from other places. And then in that due diligence phase is what you would also call the dating, okay, part of it. You're spending time with her. If this is a property you really think you're interested in, fly out there. Go see that property. Go there at different times of the day. Go there late at night. Go there early in the morning. Check out the neighborhood. Are there, you know, people hanging out at the park across the street that are not too desirable, or it looks like there's some issues going on in that area? You can learn a lot just by hanging out in the neighborhood and checking it out. Of course, you know, you'll talk to a broker who will get you the keys, and you can look through the property. Now, if all that stuff looks good, all the numbers look good, you've run everything, okay, then we move to this next commitment stage, and that is the proposal, okay? So if you really like that woman and or guy, and you're, you know, well, usually, at least from my standpoint, when I knew that this was the woman I wanted to marry, I basically made the proposal at that point. Now, granted, that is a commitment once you've made that proposal, but I guess you'd say maybe it's not finalized until you actually go through the marriage process. But the proposal is basically you submit an offer on a property. And that's where you'll submit either an LOI, a letter of intent, which is not as committed as actually signing a purchase agreement. And but either one you can do, and that's really is what you're committed to that property. Everything looks great that you can find out from these other sources. And at that point is where I do my detailed inspections. I call in a professional inspector who goes through and looks for things and makes sure there are no big surprises, like things like asbestos and crumbling foundations. Maybe you find out it was built on a toxic waste dump or something, or who knows what else. But the inspection, if it's a good one, you're going to find out all those things so that you can remove the worry there. And then finally, you've got, okay, this is great, everything looks good. Usually with the inspection, you can also adjust price and things like that nature. If there are things that need to be fixed, you find out a lot in the inspection process. It's a great thing. Okay, you've got it. Your offer is accepted. If it was an LOI, you move to a purchase agreement, and then you're working with banks and you're getting everything set up here. And the same thing as you're getting prepared for marriage. You're figuring out where we're going to live and blah blah blah. All those things are there, and then finally you move to the marriage. And the marriage, the wonderful marriage, is where the property investor sits down and closes here. These are, you're signing all the closing documents. If you've got loans, you're signing all the loan docs. You're signing all the title stuff and all that happens. And once that's done, okay, the deal, you're done, you're committed. And just like with a marriage, you're committed. And hopefully it's a lifetime commitment with the property. It might be a lifetime commitment also, or it may be something that goes up in value so fast you might want to trade it in. You don't want to do that with your wife, of course, but you do want to make sure that at that point everything is right, everything is good, and you've got a good investment, you got great cash flow, everything's perfect at that point. So that's a quick overview of the analysis process. Next week, I'm going to go a lot more into specifics, specific numbers, specific ratios, things of that nature that you need to know too. But I think I wanted to just kind of give it to you like that so you could kind of see where you're going in the property analysis process and what is required. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including links, and I will have links to some of these other podcasts that I mentioned, you can get more information. I might even throw in a few extra things like some blog articles and so forth that might be helpful for you. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.